In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know, you hear me say it's funny all the time, and that's because it usually is funny. This is a difficult sermon to you, actually, or day to have to give a sermon on. Number one, because there is literally so much here. It is both amazing and overwhelming. You can spend your entire life just looking at this part. For instance, we'll do some of the easier things first. Today is actually when the wise men are supposed to be around the child. Most churches have that there the day of Christmas. They didn't show up the day of Christmas. They didn't show up the day of his birth. They actually traveled to him. They were moving at his birth, but they weren't there at his birth. Calls them wise men from the east. If you do research, if you study, these three wise men that came were actually Zoroastrians. Zoroastrians are people that worship, anybody know? Worship the light. What is Christ? The light to all mankind. They were called wise men because even though they watched the stars, they looked for portents in the stars, they used the stars to tell them when different seasons were coming upon them. They used the stars to tell them when different events were going to happen. But they were scientists. They were very knowledgeable. That's why they were called wise men. Gifts. Have you ever wondered about the gifts that the wise men brought? Frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Most Americans would sit there and go, man, I'd really like the gold. Well, even then, we know not that which we ask. Yes. Frankincense, gold, and myrrh. Does anybody know what those gifts signify? Joe.
Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, myrrh for the one who is to die. Right.
Yeah, and all of them can still be classified as burial gifts.
Yeah.
But you're right. Absolutely right. Everybody hear what she said? Gold for the king, myrrh, or frankincense for the priesthood, myrrh for death. These are all things that are found in ancient tombs all over the world. It was known from the very beginning that he would be the one to die. Starting to see why I say there is so much here that you can spend your entire life on it. Even more so when you start adding in our other readings. You have Paul in the letter to the Ephesians today,
yes.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Notice his opening lines in there. I've come to you as Gentiles. We take it for granted. Before this event, the promises, seemingly unbeknownst to the rest of the world, were only to the people Israel. Only to God's chosen. Their God was the God of everything. Their God. Their God sustained them. Their God promised them. Their God watched over them. Their God took care of them. All of that changed. Their God becomes our God. We are the people of God. Not the people of America, not the people of Africa, not the people of Australia, not the people of Israel. The people of God. And on it goes. That's why this is such an important day. That's why we remember it. We look at the things that were done. And we think of the things that will be done. Much like today, even back then, the people in power, the rulers, were so terrified of the information that the wise men brought that what did Herod do? What is the edict that Herod gave out? Kill every male child 2 years and younger in an attempt to erase the light to the world, the light to all mankind. We hear it today. Herod heard the wise men and he was afraid. And the people around Herod were afraid. Ask yourself why. Because this act changes everything. Not only does it change everything, but it was foretold. It was always the plan that is demonstrated by the Old Testament. It is confirmed by the New Testament. It is shown in the gifts that were brought and the actions of the people that were around Christ. When you begin to comprehend this, it becomes almost overwhelming, doesn't it? It becomes an impossible and incredible thing to try to wrap your head around. Doubly so when you realize that we're humans and quite often idiots. And I don't mean that as a bad way. I mean, you know, one of my favorite sayings is talking about Thomas Edison when he was asked about what he thought about failing to make a light bulb over 200 times. Thomas Edison's response is perfect. I didn't fail. I found 200 ways to not make a light bulb. I mean, that's the point. We make mistakes. We are fallible beings. It's what you do with the mistakes. Do you learn from them? Do you move forward? Do they show you and point to something else? This is the something else. This is always the something else. This is the thing that changes everything. We are a people that have forgotten our symbolism. We have forgotten promises. We go through the motions. Now stop and think about this. Many, many days we go through the motions. Be honest. Who actually wanted to come to church this morning? No shame in not wanting to come to church. And I'm glad to see you here if you didn't want to be here. More glad than you can imagine. This is something that I learned in seminary that we always take for granted. And this is just an example. Our professors would sit there and tell us, look, we have chapel every single day. 365 days a year, we have Eucharist at St. Mary's Chapel or the Red Church or the Marian Altar or the Joseph Altar. We always had Eucharist every single day. And what our professors would tell us are the days that you don't want to be in chapel. Well, those are the days I really want you there. The days that you don't want to be in church, that it is too much, that it is overwhelming, that it is too bothersome. Those are the days that you need to be there. And one of my smart aleck students, not me, asked, why? The response was incredible. And so simple. It was simply this. There are days that you come to church and you worship. And it's glorious. There are days when you are beat down and you don't want to be there. But it builds a pattern of faith. And the faith is what gets you through. The faith is what gets you through. Stop and think about that. You have three wise men from an entirely different part of the world who worship the light. That though they do not realize probably the full importance of what they are doing, do it anyway. The fact that another part of the world recognizes the birth of Christ to be light should say something very significant. The fact that the world, not the spiritual side of the world, but the actual worldly side of the world, upon finding out about the light, does its best to destroy it and is absolutely terrified and doesn't succeed. The wise men, the wisest of the men, bring gifts that signify kingship, priesthood, and death. What was God? Our king, who was our high priest, who died for us. Do you see how all of this begins to tie together? Those of you that are here today that didn't want to come to church but came anyway, you are blessed more than you can possibly imagine. We are all blessed more than we can possibly comprehend. All from a child that was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn and wrapped in swaddling clothes. The world, darkness, evil came against him and broke. That is Epiphany.